Welcome back to the BunSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn. We are now through 3 weeks of the college football season. It's hard to believe we're already through three weeks. I guess that's almost a quarter of the season for some teams who haven't had an off week yet and have played three games. Some very interesting finals this last weekend, and we're going to jump right into it. In the SEC, and none bigger than Ole Miss. Number three now, Ole Miss, 43-37, beating the number two team in America, Alabama, in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Alabama outgained the Rebels 503-433. They outrushed the Rebels by almost 3-1. They had more first downs. They had 10-plus more minutes of time of possession. But there was also one more thing that Alabama had more of, and those were turnovers. They had 5 turnovers, including 2 fumbles on kickoff returns that really set Ole Miss up nicely for the win. Professor, what did you make of this game?
Well, I thought both teams were really good teams, and I think you hit the nail on the head. The 5 turnovers were really big. That's the difference in the game. But probably the own kickoff returns were the most devastating. Now, you stop and think about it, Jacob. When you fumble a kickoff return, number one, you're taking a total possession out of your hands. Second, you're giving the other team the ball down close to their own to their goal. And so I think those two were the real backbreakers was those two fumbles.
Let's talk about we'll get to the Ole Miss later. I think Ole Miss is in a very good position. I think they have a very, very good football team. And that game that they're playing on the second-to-last weekend of the year in Oxford against LSU is looming very large right now after this past weekend's developments. But let's talk about Alabama for a second. They decide to go with Cooper Bateman as the quarterback. Of course, he's a dual-threat guy. He ends up 11-14 for 87 yards and an interception. They pulled him midway through the second quarter and put Jake Coker in, who came in and actually added a spark to this offense that was floundering at best. He ended up 21-44 for 201 to 3 touchdowns and also an interception late in the game. What'd you make of the decision by Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin to put Cooper Bateman in there first?
Well, I really can't understand why they did it. And I don't question why they did it, but what I do question, if they put him in there so that they would have a quarterback that would run on an option, but he never ran on the option. So if they had him in there for one purpose, then that purpose never was fulfilled. So if they had done that, then I might have been able to see why they did it.
Yeah, it's almost like Alabama's trying to go to the zone read play like many other teams in college football, but they can't quite get there. And I suppose they were going to try to start that Saturday night with Cooper Bateman, but as you said, he never decided to keep the read and run it himself.
Well, Jacob, I'd say it on at least 4 or 5 plays, it was wide open for him. Yeah. He could have run for 10, 15 yards, maybe all the way to the end zone, just wide open, and he never once kept it. So that part I don't understand. And another thing I don't understand is Alabama, their offense with Coker in there is built around running and passing at short and moderate distances, and we're very effective at it. They move the ball down the field every time that way. And yet when they got the ball with 2 minutes and 30-something seconds left in the game, they decide to throw a long, deep pass, which is absolutely the weakest area of their offense. Why they did that is the big question to me.
And Jake Coker's accuracy on those long balls has been nil so far this year. It's been hit or miss. I shouldn't say nil. I mean, he has hit a few, but not very many.
I will say this about the game, Jacob. In my opinion, this is my opinion, I believe that Alabama's defense played very well in the game. I know they get a lot of people saying they're not as good, this, that. But if you take, for instance, there were 2 plays. Now, this is not excuses of what not winning the game. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how they played the game. If you take the 2 passes, one was the where the ball bounced around and finally bounced off of an Alabama player's helmet into a waiting receiver who ran for a touchdown. You take that play, and you take the one where they did what they called the pop pass, where they had the lineman downfield. On both of those instances, they were kind of a flukish type play. Those two passes, one was for 66 yards, and the other was for 73 yards, which means that would total up to 139 yards that Ole Miss wouldn't have gained. So you take that out, you'd say, well, they really stopped Ole Miss. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse for Alabama losing the game. I'm simply using that to say that Alabama's defense played well in the game.
Well, there'll certainly be some other challenges for Alabama's defense. They get to face both Nick Chubb and Leonard Fournette, as well as Texas A&M, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Dak Prescott, and Auburn later in the year. So Alabama with still a lot of work yet to do, and we'll talk about it later in the season. But Alabama's playoffs hopes, of course, they took a hit. There's no question. But and this schedule, it's going to be very difficult for Alabama to get back in it this year. Let's move on now to Auburn and LSU. Of course, LSU 45-21 over Auburn. It's complete slacking. 485 to 260 total yards. Passing yards. Auburn had 100 in the game. Of course, LSU had less than that. But here's a stat that, I mean, this is a Gus Malzahn offense. They love to run the football. LSU 411 on the ground. Auburn 160. 411. How in the world can any SEC defense give up 411 yards on the ground? Leonard Fournette, he could have walked backwards and run for 100 yards in this game, I think.
I think, Jacob, there are two or three takeaways here. First of all, let's take Auburn and Alabama. They don't need to be thinking about being in the 14 playoff. They need to be thinking about winning the next game and starting to win games. Now, when you come to this LSU-Auburn game, I'd have to say the second takeaway I would get is that Leonard Fournette is just really, really good.
He's amazing.
He is a good running back, just outstanding. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, in these days with teams running the spread offense and throwing the ball around, it's hard for the defense to stop them. Well, LSU is not a spread offense. They do not throw the ball around, and they still ran, was able to run up a lot of yards on Auburn. And they really ran through and over Auburn in that game.
Yeah, the career best for Fournette in that game, 228 yards. The career best, though, is three touchdowns. Some other interesting scores from Saturday. We won't run through all. We won't go in depth on these. But Notre Dame did beat Georgia Tech 30-22. Florida with a 5-point win at Kentucky. Big win for the Gators. Georgia 52-20. Clobbered South Carolina. Ohio State escaped by the tiniest of margins against Northern Illinois, 20-13. And Stanford upset number 6 USC 41-31 in the Coliseum. That was an interesting game, too, late Saturday night. So now we turn our attentions to Week 4, and there aren't a lot of major matchups this weekend. But I'll start on the Plains, and you just talked about it. You talked about Auburn. They need to win this next game. Well, they have Mississippi State coming to town, Dak Prescott and the offense. But Mississippi State's missing some key parts from last year. Last night on Monday Night Football, we saw Josh Robinson running for the Colts. So he won't be out there for Mississippi State Saturday, as well as a number of other weapons that they had last year. But Darunya Wilson, Dak Prescott, Mississippi State offense, can they get it done this weekend in Auburn, or is Auburn going to turn this thing around?
Well, Mississippi State has actually surprised me a little bit. They're better than I thought they would be this year. And I think you'd have to say, Jacob, that they have a scrappy defense. So their defense is pretty good. I'm not saying they're a LSU or Ole Miss-type defense, but they're a scrappy, good defense. But you've just named the two players, the Dak Prescott and Wilson. That's the two key players for Mississippi State in this game. And Auburn, they're going to have to be able to get their defense to be able to stop the run, and they're going to see plenty of Dak Prescott running the ball in this game. And so I'm sure they're gearing up for that and getting ready for that. And then will that mean that Dak Prescott's going to be able to throw a lot of passes to that big receiver, Wilson? And then will Auburn get their offense on to moving in the right direction?
Well, they announced today that their quarterback is going to be changed. It's no longer going to be Jeremy Johnson. It's going to be Sean White is the new starter on the plane. So that's you throwing a first-time starter out in an SEC game like this in a must-win situation. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. All right, a couple of games that are interesting that I want to get your take on, kind of if there's a shot at an upset or whatever. Number 8 LSU is on the road at Syracuse. Do they have any scare here?
I don't think so, but LSU has that tendency. You know this,
yeah.
That they play great when they're playing big games, and then they'll play another one. They just absolutely flounder around. But I look for them to start getting some of their offense moving in this game.
And at home, they're a much different team than they are on the road, and this will be on the road, which is kind of strange. Number 22, BYU at Michigan. Lean in this one. I tend to be on Michigan's side, but it's going to be it could be a good game.
Well, if BYU plays as well as they played in their first three games, I think they'll beat Michigan. But Michigan has a better than advertised defense. Their defense is good.
Number 24, Oklahoma State. We haven't heard much about the Cowboys this year, but a lot of people think that they could be one of those contenders. They're playing at Texas, a team that would love nothing more than a big conference win. They may love it, but they're not going to get it. Oklahoma State, I think, will pound them.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys will come in with pistols blazing, and it's going to be a hard time for the Longhorns. And you know, but you just keep thinking that one game somewhere along the way, Texas is going to rise up and beat Texas.
It's I agree, but. First of all, did you see how the game ended Saturday? I mean, you can't write this stuff for Texas. They scored the tying touchdown, or supposedly tying touchdown, with less than 2 minutes to go, and they missed the extra point. It's unbelievable. This stuff only happens to Texas. Another couple teams in Texas, TCU number 3 at Texas Tech. Any concern here for the Horned Frogs?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Arkansas's had a tough couple of weeks. They welcome in. Well, they don't welcome in. They're going to Jerry World to play number 14, Texas A&M. This is a late game Saturday night on ESPN. Texas A&M looks hot. Arkansas does not. They've lost two straight to out-of-conference foes. Any chance here for the Hogs?
Yes, there is, because Arkansas is absolutely going to do exactly what you think they're not going to do.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know.
So you think they win?
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't win this game.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Number 3, Ole Miss hosts Vanderbilt. Any chance of a letdown after a big win?
No.
All right, Missouri is playing at Kentucky. This is an interesting game. Missouri, of course, they were very fortunate that UConn called perhaps the most ill-conceived fake field goal I've ever seen in my time watching football Saturday, and they lost 9-6. But they go on the road this week to face a Kentucky team that lost to Florida and is probably upset about that. Who wins this game?
Well, I keep thinking, and I keep saying, and I keep believing that Missouri is not very, very good. I thought that last year. I thought that the year before. But they win these games. It's just incredible. And I really think Kentucky should win the game.
Yeah.
But how do you go against Missouri?
You're great point. Utah at Oregon.
Utah may win this game. Utah's got a very good team, but Oregon's a good team as well. This is probably a better game than you might think. This is going to be a really good test for both teams.
It'd be odd to see Oregon start the first four games or first 4 weeks of the season with two losses, and then. The kind of the headliner in the desert is number 9 UCLA at number 16 Arizona. This is the Pac-12 South matchup that could be interesting for the national race. UCLA.
I guess that UCLA probably, even though they had quite a game last week, and they had more than they could handle almost, but you wonder if that was because they were looking ahead to Arizona. I don't know. But Arizona, they're a good football team, too. This is going to be a really good game, and this would be a place where UCLA could get derailed from heading to the promised land.
Yes, it definitely could. Well, another great edition of the BunSports.com podcast. I think most of the talk this week is on those two games that happened this past week, and now you look at what's happened in the SEC, Ole Miss and LSU. Who would have thought 3 weeks in that those would be the two teams that have come out of this that look like the front runners? Now, obviously, things can change, but Alabama and Auburn taking a back seat.
Well, you know, I agree with that. But it looks to me like that Georgia, if I were looking, you know, when we look at our Final Four, we're not talking about who's going to be in the Final Four. It's who are our best, our top four teams right now. And Georgia is the only team from the SEC that I've got in that top four right now.
Really?
Right.
Well, that's interesting. I'm not with you on Georgia. I do not think Georgia's all the way there yet, and there's some interesting reasons for that. We'll get into next week because we'll be previewing a big game between Georgia and Alabama on the next edition of the BuntSports.com podcast. But I'm not quite with you there, but we'll talk about that then. Well, hope everyone has a great weekend of college football. We'll be back with you next week. As I mentioned, a lot more high-profile matchups next week. We'll be back into the swing of this thing, and hopefully your team will turn it around if they lost this past weekend. But we'll be back next week for the College Football Professor. I'm Jacob Bunn.